But I think we're joined by Mr. Bob Lovelace. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Well, Professor Lovelace, you were at Beth Zetoun not so long ago, and you said it was very important to you to make this voyage to try to take supplies to the people of Gaza. And you have you've had the experience. Now, well, let's review that. Why did you undertake the this rather risky effort?
Well, for several reasons. You know, the first is to bring awareness to people that Gaza is there's 1.8 million people in the Gaza Strip who are subject to the administration of Israel and are not free to come or go, and they're not free to receive goods either by sea or by air, and what they do receive is funneled through Israel. So basically they're a prison camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so our objective, one of our objectives is to bring awareness to that and to keep that in front of the on the world stage. I also went because it's really important to me to make the point that what's going on in Palestine is settler colonialism, the same kind of settler colonialism that began in Canada about 200 years ago and literally destroyed the economies and the environments of the indigenous peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences of that are that there will be perpetual conflict. We experienced that in Canada. You know, although we have a sort of a quiet peace that reigns most of the time, there's still a lot of enmity left because of that settler colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
In the Middle East, that has become a flashpoint of violence.
Yeah, but I want to mention something. I heard your speech at Beth Zetoun, a wonderful institution, by the way, on Markham,
yes,
in Toronto, and you pointed out that when Christopher Columbus set out, he had a part of the deal, the contract for him was that a portion of whatever was found in the way of wealth would go towards the next crusade. Did I understand that right?
Yes, that's correct. In his original contract with Queen Isabella, that's a prominent feature. In fact, that was a prominent feature for the Spanish, the Italians, and other Europeans at the time. That up until about 1100, there was a sizable migration of Europeans into the East. There were five principalities there. It wasn't just a matter of crusaders going and fighting. They established settlements. There was over 1 million Europeans who had colonized the Middle East by about 1100 A.D.
Well, that's to me, that's a very important link in this story. Now, we're speaking again to Bob Lovelace. He's Ardoc Algonquin, a former chief, I understand, professor of global studies at Queen's University. I noticed that aboard that ship with you was Maori TV?
Yes.
But they're the only ones, as far as I know, who did an actual job of reporting properly on the effort to bring supplies to Gaza.
They were a very excellent team of reporter and photographer, and they worked very hard to get the full story. I think also there was I have to give Al Jazeera some credit too, because
mm-hmm.
they also worked hard to get the story out,
mm-hmm.
and they had just a tremendous team behind them as well, and they actually were reporting. They did a lot of the first reporting, but the Maori Maori television team did just a great job of collecting interviews, and they also brought a sort of a helicopter camera with them and took beautiful shots of the ship at sunrise and sunset.
Yeah. By the way, Bob Lovelace has a decolonization blog. You could find it very easily on the net. Please go there. You see the footage from Maori TV and other items. Now, I want to ask, of course, the first story was that the ship was stopped. Were you in Israeli waters or anybody's waters at the time the ship was stopped?
No. We were. We had decided that evening that the next morning we would head directly for Gaza, and that was our mm-hmm. ultimate destination. But we decided to pull into a main shipping channel, which was about 100 nautical miles from Gaza, from mm-hmm. the territory. We were clearly maybe 150 nautical miles from Israeli territory, but we were basically just north of where the Suez Canal comes out into the Mediterranean, and in a major shipping channel, and we sort of were chugging along pretty slowly, and I believe it was about 97 nautical miles that the Israelis radioed and began to attack us.
And everyone here said the Israeli position was uneventful capture of your ship and the personnel. Was it uneventful from your point of view?
Well, from our point of view, it wasn't uneventful at all. We first were told we were first contacted and told to stop the engines, and of course we didn't because, you know, we were sailing under a Swedish flag. This is a Swedish ship, and there was no reason to respond to that type of request. Mm-hmm. What happened next was that an Israeli Zodiac pulled alongside with painted white that said Coast Guard. Pretty far out for Coast Guard.
97.
There were also four cruiser class battleships that were in the vicinity as well that we could see on radar, and later on when the sun came up we could actually see them. But a very short negotiation was stop the engines or we'll board, and we said no, we're not going to do that, and suddenly there was IDF or Israeli Defense Forces coming on board. The first thing that they did is that they tasered Charlie Anderson, who was standing next to the stairway to the bridge, and then Gustav was sitting on top of me, and I was sitting on the stairway to the bridge as a way of trying to resist their takeover of the bridge, and we had done hours and hours of nonviolence training. So basically, we were just sitting there. And after they tasered Charlie, they tasered Gustav, and I sort of let him slide down my legs. And then they tasered me, and started dragging us down the deck and down a set of stairs to the aft of the boat where they handcuffed us.
Wow! And now, so a number of people were tasered, and You were taken to, is it Ashdod?
Ashdod, yes.
And there was another Canadian aboard. I think it's Kevin Nash, is it?
That's correct.
And they held you for some time, but then what happened? I understand not everybody was released. What's the situation today?
Today everyone's home.
The crew has left too.
Yes, the crew were the last to leave. We were taken to Given Prison in Tel Aviv, and from Ashdod after a sort of gauntlet of of interrogations and searches, they took my tablet and my phone. I haven't got those back, and my camera. And so they confiscated all of this electronic stuff that they were afraid would have the kind of evidence that the world needs to see.
And they're holding the Marianne. Is that right?
Yes, they're holding the Marianne, and hopefully Sweden will have some clout in getting the Marianne back. The Marianne was we were really hoping to get the Marianne into Gaza and turn it over to the Fishermen's Union. You know, they could convert it into a rescue vessel. It's a beautiful little ship. It was built in Denmark. It's a Danish fishing trawler. It's just a sturdy little ship.
Yeah. The prime minister of the country, I believe, or certainly some spokesperson of Israel, said, well, immediately raised the name of terrorist organizations of, you know, Hamas and threats to Israel. But we spoke to David Heap. He mentioned that they've always, on the Freedom Flotilla, they always make the ship available at ports to be examined, if that's what they wanted to do, to guarantee that there was nothing of any threat to the state of Israel.
No. Yeah, there was no threat. And yes, we make the at each of the stops in Europe, the boat was examined by harbor authorities. I joined in Palermo. It was well searched in Palermo. It was well searched in Messina when we got to the eastern port of Sicily, and so you know. And I can verify that we have no connection with Hamas or any other political organization. Mm-hmm. We have contact with NGOs who are helping Palestinians develop an economy in a very difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been speaking here with Bob Lovelace, Ardark Algonquin, and he's a professor of global studies at Queen's University. We're really glad you're back safe and sound. I'm really sorry about the taser. I think taser's pretty dangerous. I wish they would understand that nonviolent resistance should not involve a risk like that, being hit with tasers. I hope you intend to give some talks and come back, for example, to Beth Satoon. Everybody needs to hear about your trip.
I'd be glad to come back to Beth Satoon and also speak to my friends in Toronto and elsewhere.
Well, thank you very, very much, very, very much, Bob Lovelace.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okie dokie.
Bye now.
That's you're listening to Taylor Report, CIUT. You can write to us, taylor@cat.fm, and we are also on the web, taylor-report.com, and I think we might be Twitter.
We have hashtag that's, Taylor
yes.
_report.
No, it's Facebook. Forward slash. Yes.
Yeah.